Welcome to the Sermons Podcast from Christ Church at Grove Farm and our Sunday Lenten series, Rise and Walk. In this series, we are looking at the healing miracles of Jesus and how the power of the resurrection gives us hope for today. We are thrilled that you are joining us. You can find additional teachings in this series from our midweek series on our sermons page, ccgf.org/sermons. Here is this week's message. May you remember the grace and love Christ Jesus has for you.
We continue to be in the season of Lent here at Christ Church Grove Farm and the Christian calendar. And the season of Lent is a time that's meant to prepare us to experience Jesus as we approach Holy Week, as we approach Resurrection Sunday, Easter, which, by the way, is just 2 weeks from today. We're going to have that moment here. Can't wait to worship together. There are a lot of people here. We can track our numbers over the years and know that we'll have a full house at all three of our services. Our services are going to take place at 7, 9, and 11:15. And I have a specific ask for you who are early risers, or maybe those of you who aren't early risers. We really need to get a crowd at that 7 o'clock service. And the reason we want to do that is we know we're going to have a lot of guests, and we may want to make room for our guests at 9, 11:15. So would you please consider go into that 7 a.m. service on Easter Sunday. You can serve at 9:30. It'd be great. At 9 o'clock, rather. We'd love to have you do that. We need to get about 300 to 400 people in the room at 7 a.m. to make room for all the guests that are going to come. So please, consider that. Make room. Take that step. Make that sacrifice to give someone else an opportunity to come in here and find a seat and hear the gospel of Jesus and celebrate the resurrection with us. Let's pray as we look forward to all that. Father, thank you for the way that you've made room for us. You've sacrificed in an ultimate way by sending your son Jesus to the cross. Thank you, Lord, for that great truth, a stunning reality. And we do anticipate celebrating the resurrection of Jesus in just a couple of weeks. And in preparation of that, Lord, today we bring you our hearts. We open our hearts and our minds, all that we are to you. And we pray, God, that you would meet us in this place. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for seeing us and knowing us. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I am fresh back from a faith tour that we took with a group of 31 from Christ Church at Grove Farm. We had an awesome experience in England together. Several of my England peeps are here. We had so much fun. It was a great tour together. We got a picture of us outside of Salisbury Cathedral. This is the highest spire in all of England. I'm thinking that we might rework our church to make it look a little bit more like that in the coming years. What do you think? You know, have something historic. That church is 1,000 years old about. It was amazing. We had a wonderful time together and learned so much and we've grown together. And there was a sense too, and we want to bring this back to Christ Church, to the whole family, of expanding our vision to see what's possible, what God can do through the church. I think we're really inspired by that. And there'll be more faith tours to come. I could tell you a lot about that tour. We have hundreds of pictures and lots of stories along the way. But there's one moment that was unplanned that I want to tell you about. We were having dinner just a few evenings ago, and we happened to meet a group of women who had traveled to England from Australia. This was all unplanned. But it ended up being a really memorable moment for those of us who had an interaction with these women. I call them the fiery women of Australia because they were fiery. They were awesome. And these women, as it turned out, had made the trek from Australia to England once again to go and see what God is doing in a place in Wales. They had heard about God doing miraculous things, powerful things, reviving the church, if you will. Much like happened at Asbury University, Asbury College, this last year. You might remember that happening in our country. Well, there's something similar happening in Wales, and this group of fiery Australian women traveled 26 hours by plane with only a short layover in Singapore to come to England because they said, we got to get some of that. We've got to see what's happening for ourselves there. I was really astonished by these women. I was taken by them. And when you talk to them, you could feel their passion. It was incredible. And I I think what they're doing is, what those women, they're there now. What they're doing is they're seeking something. And I think they're seeking something for themselves, yeah, sure. But what I got a sense of as we talked to them is they're seeking something for their people, for their country, that they want to take back to them, that they desire for people to really see God in his glory, for people to be touched by the power of God, know that there's more for them than what they're experiencing, that there's hope beyond this world and this life. And they were so taken by this idea that they made that long trip. And it makes me wonder, like, what about us? What do we want? I asked these women, I said, hey, what do you do? You know, it seemed like they may be in ministry or something. And we talked about it. And all I got out of them really was this. They pray. I mean, their response ultimately was they didn't care to tell me about their vocation and what they do. What they really wanted to talk about is the fact that they pray. And they've actually moved to a certain part of Australia, and they're praying there. And they believe God in such a big way that they're dedicating themselves to following him wherever he might lead them and to praying for people to know the power of God in their lives, for the world to wake up and see God in his glory. Really taken by this. What do you want? What is it you're seeking? I think about it for myself. What am I seeking? What am I after? These women want nothing but God. And when we think about Rise and Walk, that's the series we're in during this Lenten series. And we're thinking about the power of God and how it could touch our lives, how the Gospels proclaim that we serve a God who indeed gives us the power to rise and to walk a new life. Do you want that? Do you want that for your family? Do you want that for your friends? The text is going to take us there this morning. And Pastor Mike, so I read it for us. We believe that the scripture is worthy of being read more than once because we want to even take a deeper dive into it. And so you're going to see here in Mark 7, as you've already heard Pastor Mike read, that we're reading about a woman who is seeking after something, kind of like the women I just met this week from Australia. So let's look at Mark chapter 7. What are you seeking? What are you after? What's on your heart? I'm telling you, you can bring that to Jesus. Let's go there now, and I want to read a few of these verses here at the beginning of this little passage. Speak to us, Lord, through this. Here we go. Jesus left that place, and he went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Jesus was seeking retreat. He needed time with his Father to recharge. Yet, he could not keep his presence a secret. The word was out about him. People knew. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. You know, I like to think of this woman as the fiery woman of Syria Phoenicia, because that's who she is. And you're going to see that even more here in a moment. And it's interesting. We don't know much about this woman. I wish we knew more about her. We don't know her name. We don't know her personal history. We don't know how she came to seek Jesus. Here's what we do know. We do know that she was a Gentile. She was not Jewish. She was not someone who was steeped in the Jewish tradition. In fact, the scripture tells us that she was a Greek. And when the scripture tells us that she's a Greek, it's not necessarily pointing out her ethnicity. What it's pointing out is her religious background. She worshiped the pagan gods of Greek. At least up until this moment she had. That was her story. That was her tradition. That's where she came from. And I think about this woman that we don't know much about. And it makes me think about this. That this woman's story speaks to us. And perhaps it speaks to you specifically. Because I believe there are some people here today who feel like they're nobody. You know, there's some of you who feel like, man, there's nothing necessarily significant about me. No one cares about me. No one notices me. I feel alone. I feel like I'm not important. I think there are others who think about faith and they think about who God is and they think, man, I've got so much stacked against me. The list of wrongs in my life is way more than the list of rights. How could I ever come before God? Listen, this woman's story calls out to you. Because let me tell you this. God saw that woman, and God sees you. And he knows you. And he cares about you. And I want you to know this. There's nothing in your past today that can keep you from coming to this Jesus. Like there was nothing in her past that could keep her from coming to this Jesus. Who he is way more important than necessarily who you are and what you've done. What he's done is the big deal. And so listen, no matter who you are today, I want you to know this as we get into this passage. You can come to Jesus. He'll look you right in the eyes. He'll put his arm around you. Because that's the kind of Savior he is. And we see it over and over again in the passages that we read. And here's another example of it today. And so here we have the rest of the story. Come to him. Come to Jesus. There's nothing that can hold you back. This woman reminds us of that. Here we go. So she comes to Jesus. She hears that Jesus is around. And she knows that maybe there's hope for her because of his presence. And it says that she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, Jesus told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And then this is the moment. This is the big moment. I love this moment. She replies, she says, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And Jesus looked at her and he said, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and she found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. This girl was restored. Whoa, what a moment. Listen, there is so much we can get into. This little passage, just a few verses, there's so much. I have things crossed out in my notes because there's so much we can get into. Here's what I want to focus on today. I want to focus on prayer, and I'll show you why in a moment. Okay, three things I want to put before you today. The first is this, the power of intercessory prayer. We'll talk about that. The second is the power of persevering prayer. And then we'll look at the urgency of prayer. So let's start with the intercessory prayer. This is a takeaway I think you could see here, okay? When we consider this passage, this little episode in the life of Jesus and this woman, I think that we see something here about intercessory prayer. Praying for others. Okay? Check it out. I believe that this passage is meant to encourage us to pray for other people. That's what I think this is about in a certain sense. And you might say, okay, I don't get that. Well, listen, this woman, she was in deep pain. I'm a parent. If you're a parent, you know she was in deep pain. Why? Because her beloved child was afflicted. You know that when your kid's sick, when your kid's not well, when they're emotionally not right, you feel that. And that hurts. And this woman was in deep affliction because her child was deeply afflicted. And this condition was one that no one could talk the girl out of it. This condition was such that there was no medicine that could cure her. And the mom knew it. And so what does she do? She goes, she seeks out Jesus, and she talks to Jesus. And by the way, you can talk to Jesus too. What is talking to Jesus? What is prayer? Prayer is talking to Jesus. Talking to Jesus is prayer. And so we could see this woman and her approach to the Messiah, to the Savior, we could see it as if it's a prayer. Because you have the same kind of access. You can come to, you can seek out Jesus. And she prays for a girl, for her daughter, who could not pray for herself. And she doesn't rest. She will not quit. She doesn't stop until she gets a response from Jesus. We'll talk about that in a moment. And by prayer, what happens? There's a cure. There's a cure that falls on the girl that no human hands could obtain. No person could address what was going on in her daughter, but Jesus can. She obtained this through prayer. And by the mom's prayer, what happens? The daughter's healed. The little girl's healed. The daughter didn't speak a word. The mom spoke for her, on her behalf, to the Lord. She had a praying mom. She had a praying mama. And let me tell you, where there is a praying mom, Where there's a praying dad, where there's a praying grandma, grandpa, there's hope. Robbie got up here. Pastor Robbie got up here at the end of the last service, and he said, I am the product of a praying grandma. My grandma never stopped praying for me, and I'm so thankful she didn't. How about you? Like, who are you praying for? And by the way, you can extend this beyond children and grandchildren. It's a neighbor, it's a coworker, it's a friend, it's whoever, it's a family member. Who are you praying for? This daughter was healed. And it wasn't on her own behalf, it was because of prayer. She had a praying mom, and where there's a praying mama, there is hope, absolutely. I'll tell you this, like, if you're thinking about how do I get into praying for people? I'm not doing this, I want to pray more. I think having a system to approach your prayers is important. Some people use an old-fashioned journal, and they'll write down when they hear about something, they'll mark it, and they'll write it down, and just write down a name and maybe a little detail about it and keep track of those prayer requests. I like to use the Echo Prayer app. This is like the digitized version of this. And by the way, you can get this, you can download it, and you can find Christ Church at Grow Farm and even tag along with our prayers. It's a digital journal, and what it does is I have reminders on my phone. I can put a picture. Some of you are in my phone, and I'm praying for you. I have those in there, and it's a great way to track prayers and encourage me to keep on track and to encourage me to keep on praying for people. I think having a system, having a way, some reminders, a structure to understand the importance of praying for other people is so important. Adopt this. Do it. And moms and dads, remember this woman. As you're praying for your kids, remember this woman. And by the way, our kids really need prayer, don't they? Our grandkids need prayers. We all need prayers. I was thinking about this when my girls were young. This was, I could picture this so clearly in my mind. It was a weeknight. I'm sitting on the couch after dinner. One of my girls walks in, plops down next to me and says, Dad, can I have the blessing of the firstborn when you die? That's a really weird conversation, right? This, by the way, this happened to be Lucy, our secondborn daughter, asking for the blessing of the firstborn. Someone told me, they said, hey, if she starts making stew in the kitchen, you know you got something to worry about, right? Too much church. These kids have too much church. You're using the Bible for weird stuff. Our kids need prayers. Look, we cannot, unfortunately, give our kids a new heart. Here's what we can do. We can teach them about the Lord. We can point them to Jesus. But we can't give them a will to choose Christ. We can't give them a heart to love God. We can't do any of those things. But here's what we can do. We can pray. You can pray. You can pray for, again, son, daughter, granddaughter, grandson, friend, family member, coworker, whoever it might be. You can pray for those who have wandered off. You can pray for those who seem to have zero interest in spiritual things, who actually are antagonistic towards, you can pray for them. Don't forget this. Don't forget that people who are prayed for, oh, so often, come to the Lord. God breaks through. So pray for your sons. Pray for your daughters. You say, well, they don't want me to talk to them about the Lord. Fine, then talk to the Lord about them. Pray for them. This woman, what a great example. The fiery woman of Syrian Phoenicia. She's awesome. She shows us the power of intercessory prayer. She goes to Jesus with her concerns. Okay, let's look at number two. Number two is this. We see intercessory prayer, but then we see also persevering prayer. This is important. She perseveres. Hey, she seemed like she was rebuffed at first. She goes to Jesus, and honestly, I wish we could get into this because there's something to talk about here. Bonus content maybe somewhere down the line. Jesus' response to her could be seen as discouraging. She goes to Jesus and she doesn't get the response that she would hope for, but she didn't give up. She didn't despair. What did she do? She prayed on. Pray on, girl. She did it. She pressed in. She wouldn't take no for an answer. She prayed. She said, hey, God, at least then give me a few crumbs of mercy. It's better than nothing at all. She persevered. I think, and I mean this personally too, in my case, I'm reflecting on this myself. I think our hearts grow indifferent way too quickly. I think we stop praying way too soon. I think we get discouraged. And here's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants you to be drawn away from praying. The enemy wants you to turn away. He fills your minds with reasons to give up, to doubt God. You'll end up trying for a little while. You won't see an immediate answer. You see that people are unchanged. You think, it's useless. It's no good. What am I doing? And you give up. Don't give up. The moment in the story, once again, the moment in the story is this. She perseveres. That's the great moment in the story. Jesus gives her kind of a cool answer, and she presses in and says, no, I won't let go. Give me a few crumbs at the very least. She perseveres in prayer. That's the great moment. That's the great moment in a movie, isn't it? We love when Rocky Balboa, in his deepest pit of despair, what does he do? He starts beating on that pound, that big hunk of meat, right? He starts fighting that thing. He goes into the workout sequence. He runs on the beach with Apollo Creed and says, I won't stay there. I'm going to come back. I'm going to persevere through the difficulty. It's the great moment in your life. You've had those moments along the way. You said, nope, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. And the same thing is true in prayer. Don't quit. Don't give up. When you feel like you want to give up, remember this woman. You know, I think it's interesting. If you think about prayer, I wonder about how we use our time. Our phones actually tell us how we use our time. There's this little thing that pops up. It actually, it's interesting. You know what happens during church services? On Sunday, you get an update on how you spent your time on your phone during the past week. You know what I'm talking about? The usage kind of picture. And it shows you, you know, how many minutes you've been on your phone. Actually, it measures it's in hours. And it tells you if your screen time was down or if it was up, all those kind of things. I wonder, like, what if we got a report each week on our prayer life? Down 8% this week. Only a few minutes in prayer. I mean, really, right? What would that look like? What would that picture look like? We're so quick to listen to the latest podcast. We'll binge watch shows. We'll scroll social media. But listen, I think more often than not, it's not that we don't know how to pray. I don't think that's the issue. I think most of us can appreciate that we get past the idea that we have to be formal. I think the greater issue is this. We just don't want to put the time in. We simply don't lay time aside to pray. There's more for us. You know, I was thinking about this morning as I was preparing, and I kind of just had a picture in my mind. I thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if Christ Church was a church that was really known for praying and persevering in praying and praying for other people. We have a beautiful chapel in our building. I don't know, most of you probably haven't been back there. Right back here, there's a lovely chapel. It's called the Oliver Chapel. You should go in there. Stained glass windows. It's a really sweet little spot. And I thought, wouldn't it be great that if every time the doors were open here at Christ Church, we had a movement where people were gathering to pray. One person, five people, 10 people, whatever. There was this always prayer because we believe God that much. We don't believe there's another way. We believe that we have to pray first, and so there's always people gathered, praying together in the Oliver Chapel. I would love for something like that. By the way, if you feel called to do that, let's organize it. Let's make that happen. Anything's possible. It's not too late for us. This woman really believed in prayer. And so she put the other distractions aside and she came before Jesus. Remember this woman. She prayed on. She did not quit. She went home rejoicing. Her daughter was healed. And I pray this. I pray that you will resolve by God's grace to pray and not to give up. To pray without ceasing. I'll let you figure out whether it's the morning or the evening. I'll let you figure out whether you use a journal or an app or however you do it. You can figure that out. But the big commitment is that we would pray and not quit. So we see intercessory prayer. We see persevering prayer. And then there's a third piece I want you to see as a reflection of this passage. And that is urgent prayer. You know, if you read between the lines in the passage, you see that there's an urgency in this woman's prayers. You don't necessarily read it verbatim, but you could feel it, right? You could feel her passion. You could feel her sense of unrelenting and coming before Jesus. And I think that's what prayer really requires too, is a sense of urgency. I want to ask you a question. We talk about praying for other people, but I want to ask you this. Are you praying for yourself? Are you praying for your own soul? Hey, if you don't pray for yourself, you're not going to pray for anyone else either. There's something about first putting the mask on yourself before you put the mask on someone else, if you know what I mean. Are you praying for yourself? I wonder, for people who don't know Christ, for those who don't know the Lord, for those who aren't walking with God, I wonder, how do you cope with all the stuff that life throws at us? Health, challenges, crises. You open up the news, and you read about the news in the world, it can feel really depressing and overwhelming. How do you cope? I can tell you this morning, even without thinking about this message, this morning, my very first move, and I'm thankful that God put me in this place. Before I got out of bed, I said to God, I don't even want to get out of bed yet this morning until I just, Lord, turned to you and said, I need your help. I need your touch. I need you. I don't want my feet to hit the ground. I can't take a step because I need you. We've got to pray for ourselves, our own soul. Are you praying in this way? Seeking God's power and his presence, his strength for living. And it's more than that. There's the hope of knowing Christ personally. So something that I saw while we were in England reminds me of this. This picture came clear to me. See if this makes sense to you as we think about our own lives and praying for our own souls. So there are all these castles, of course, in England. We went to one of them, Windsor Castle. That was the favorite castle of the late Queen. Neat place, interesting to tour. And when we arrived at Windsor, you can look up and see the highest point of it, and there was like a typical castle. There's a flag, and it's the Union Jack. You know, the UK flag flying high above it. Well, when we came out, someone noticed that the flag had changed. There was now a different flag, which I learned is called the Royal Standard. We got a picture of it. The Royal Standard flying above Windsor Castle. And here's what I learned. When the Royal Standard is flying above Windsor Castle or Buckingham Palace, it means that the king is in the house. It means that the king is there. And so somehow, when we were there at Windsor Castle visiting, unbeknownst to us, King Charles had shown up and he was there at the castle. And the flag had changed to signify that he was there. And I thought about that and I thought, you know, what a picture of our spiritual lives. There's an old quote that says this, joy is the flag that flies when the king is at home in your heart. Joy is the flag that flies over your life when the king is at home in your heart. Let me ask you a question this morning as we consider praying for ourselves. Is the flag of God the Father, the flag of Jesus flying over your head, the head of your life? Do you have some other flag flying above you? Is there something else ruling over your life? Or have you really given yourself, given your soul, all of you, to God the Father, letting him rule over your life? Listen, pray for your own soul. And when I say pray for your soul, pray with urgency. Pray for salvation. Why? Because look, none of us is promised another day. And eternity does hang in the balance. Eternal death, hell, separation from God, that's the reality. You see the urgency? Pray for your own soul. What flag flies over your life? I pray that you will pray for yourself and pray for your own soul and say, God, come and be the king. Come rule over me. Come and be my king. Oh, Jesus, I give myself to you. It's that simple. Fly his flag over your head. Okay, as we consider all this, let me wrap this up. We've talked about praying for others, intercessory prayer. We've talked about persevering in prayer. We've talked about urgent prayer. And all this is to say this. Hey, wake up. Call on God. Whoever you are, if you're a believer, call on God. Pray. If you don't know the Lord, turn to Him. Let His banner fly over your head. Wake up. Call on God. Listen, we have 2 weeks till Easter. I'm going to give you a really practical goal here. Would you pray daily between now and Easter? Pray for yourself every day. Lord, give me strength. Lord, help me. Shape my life. Rule over me, whatever it is. And don't only do that, but also pray for others. For the next 2 weeks, every day. You figure out how you do it. Morning, night, in between, all day long. You could figure that out. You can figure out the place, but pray for others. Hey, beware. Don't only pray for yourself. It's important to pray for ourselves, but you got to pray for others too. Let's not get selfish with our prayers. And I pray that you will name all the people you love before God continually, bringing them before them. The people that to you are the worst people, the people that are the hardest, the people who are the most unbelieving, the one. We wrote names up here. I love coming up on the stage. I always get a glimpse of a different name. Pray for the one. But to commit during these next 2 weeks to pray for yourself and to pray for others. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. God's mercy may seem distant to you. It may seem like God's far away. That you're not, that He's not hearing your prayers. They're not being answered. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed. Press on. Pray on. Keep on praying. Your eyes may not see the answer. You know, I think of our church, Christ Church at Grove Farm. There was a woman who lived in that farmhouse right over there. Her name was Helen Grove. And Helen Grove had a great prayer. Her prayer was that her property would be used for God's glory. Now, Helen Grove didn't live to see that prayer answered. But she prayed that. And we believe that God is answering those prayers still today. It may take 10 years. It may take 15 years. It may take 20 years. But listen, while we're living, while we're breathing, let's pray for others. Let's not stop. Let's keep on doing it because this is a command from God. And this is the way God has set it up, that He desires the prayers of His people. I believe this, and I'll close with this. I believe the greatest kindness that we can express for anyone is to present and speak to that person, to speak of him, to speak of her, to the Lord Jesus, to pray for them. What a kindness. What an expression of love. What an expression of faith. May we be a people of prayer. I'll tell you what, in a moment, you're going to have an opportunity. We're going to stand, we're going to sing, and you can receive prayer yourself. I know in the first service, there were people who went and they received prayer. People in the back, they have lanterns on, they would love to pray for you. You can pray right now in this moment. Praying for a kid, praying for a grandkid, praying for a friend. Praying for yourself. What flag flies over your head? Is it the flag of Jesus Christ, His banner over you? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for your incredible love, Your mercy. Thank You for this incredible woman of faith, the fiery woman of Syria, Phoenicia. Thank You for her boldness, Lord, and the example she has set for us. We believe, Lord, in the urgency of prayer. Help us, Lord, strengthen us to be a people who continually turn to You. And now, Lord, in this moment, we just come before You with the concerns and desires of our own lives. We have other people in our minds, kids, grandkids, friends, neighbors, coworkers. We present them to You, Lord. We know that this is an act of kindness and love, an expression of our faith. We believe You, Lord. We believe that You move, that Your hand and Your touch and Your power make a difference in someone's life. We present these names to You, Lord. And Lord, we present our own lives to You as well. We cry out and say, we need You. Help us, O God. Lord, I pray for anyone here who has a flag other than the flag of Jesus Christ flying over their life, so to speak. I pray, Lord, that they would simply come before you now and say, oh, Lord, be my king. I believe in Jesus, that he is the Son of God. He died for my sin and lives. Oh, Lord, rule over me. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Teach us, Lord, to be a people of prayer. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior.